Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning, Portland, Oregon, and the great Pacific Northwest. You're listening to Investing Simplified. This is the show that gives you the opportunity to tell us what direction we're going in. Pick up the phone, give us a call. You can call toll-free at 877-733-1011 for podcast listeners. You can also go to the website investingsimplifiedradio.com and see us throughout the country. And, in fact, I had a call this week from somebody out of St. Louis who is a regular to us and listens in his truck. He's a long-haul truck driver. And local, you can call 503-417-9595. In studio with me is Carl Jepsen.
Wow, what an introduction. Yeah. That's very nice. Yeah,
I was going to have a drum roll, but my drummer wasn't ready.
That's very kind of you. I hope that I can be as worthy of such enthusiasm. So,
well, in Carl's comments, we're counting on it.
Okay.
And Kevin Steggy, our local CPA, is still traveling the world and enjoying a little vacation time, and we're looking forward to him being back next week. And all three of us should be back, and hopefully. And I just don't know if I'm going to get back because I'm getting in so late on the night before, so I'm hoping I can make it.
Yeah, you may be a little slower, too.
Yeah, I may not. But anyway, listen, this is the show where we talk a lot about investing. We talk about the law. We talk about taxes. We talk about anything. You know, pick up the phone, give us a call, because your question is the thing that makes this thing run. Unlike the other shows, we're not trying to sell you something. We're not spending an hour going to try selling you annuities or fixed products or some other thing. We're going to actually talk about things that hopefully will help you do some of your own planning, or hopefully help you work with a competent advisor or an attorney or a CPA. You know, we don't have all the answers. We have most of them, but we don't have all of them. But we can certainly point you in the right direction, you know. And listen, if somebody tells you they know everything, they probably do not. You know, and we readily admit we do not know everything. We do know how to find it if we don't know the answer, and that's the important thing. And when you're asking somebody something, if they're telling you they know everything, you're probably talking to the wrong person. So,
absolutely.
Coming in this morning, I have to say this because I listen to the radio whenever I'm in my car, and sometimes I listen to other shows and. I listen to what they're talking about, and I got to tell you, there's a show on when you're out there and you're listening to a person who's representing themselves in my industry as a financial advisor, the first question you need to be asking them is, are you licensed to do investments? Are you really licensed to talk about investments, or are you an insurance agent that's talking about investments and securities and you're not licensed to sell them? I mean, I would ask the person, I mean, there's There's a TV personality that goes around talking about it as a financial advisor, but they're only licensed for insurance. I checked them out on BrokerCheck, and they've never been licensed for securities. That's the other thing. If you're going to do business with somebody, check them out.
Yeah. That was one of the things that I had a conversation with a client the other day, and they were actually asking for someone with certain, you know, licensing, and I just said, oh yeah, go to Chuck. I mean, Chuck's licensed for everything. He can even, you know, he can even perform, you know, emergency appendectomies. You know, I mean,
well,
he can do whatever
quite.
He wants, really. Yeah, so.
yeah, the patient might die, but yeah, I don't think.
Well, I didn't say how well.
yeah. Well, but you got to be licensed. I mean, if you're going to time, I've been licensed since about 1970, short time. Anyway, you got to be licensed for it. If you're going to talk about investing, you got to talk about it. The other thing is, it drives me nuts because I'm driving down the road and I'm hearing this ad about the Wall Street Casino, and get rid of your 401k and get rid of your IRAs and get rid of your Roth IRAs, get rid of all this stuff and get it out of the Wall Street Casino. You probably have all heard that ad. Well, you know what I did? I went and I called those guys, and I checked them out. And you know what they're selling? They're selling life insurance. Yeah, that's what they're selling, life insurance. Now, that's okay because life insurance sold the correct way is okay. I mean, there's a reason for life insurance. When you're young and you have a family, you're raising your family, you need to have life insurance because if you don't live long enough, you can replace the income that you would have made for your family. As we get older in life, life insurance, as Carl and I well know, then becomes an estate planning tool. And it's a way of providing estate taxes for pennies on the dollar. That makes sense, okay? But I got news for you, folks. Guess where the life insurance invests their money? In the stock market. These guys call, they say, oh, don't invest your money in the Wall Street Casino. Don't invest it in the stock market. And guess where they invest their money? In the stock market. So, really? I mean, just listen to it. If you listen to the hypocrisy of the whole thing, you have to say, wait a minute. If this is an investment, then call it what it is. Don't be afraid to call it what it is. And I'm going to come right out about annuities. We offer annuities. We offer strategic annuities. There's a difference. There are good annuities. There are bad annuities. There are good advisors. There are bad advisors. Hey, there's a lot of good advisors out there. A lot of good advice, a lot of good attorneys,
yeah,
a lot
absolutely.
Of good CPAs, you know, but you got to filter through it and you got to be your own advocate. If you're not your own advocate, I got news for you. You're going to get taken to lunch. You got to be your own advocate. You got to ask the questions. You got to say, hey, how is your track record? You know, are you on broker check? Do you have any complaints? Have you had any problems? In the financial area, you know, has the state fined you? Have you been, you know, do you have a problem on broker check? You check these things out. I mean, I had a person come in and ask me about an advisor. We sat down and I looked him up on broker check, and I thought I was looking at a show on TV about a criminal. This guy had been fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. Lost his license, got suspended. Oh, one of the states had him take an ethics class. After 15 years, the guy's got to take an ethics class because he keeps doing the same thing over and over again. I got to question why the state was doing that. But the thing is, you need to look at these things. You need to check them out yourself. It's your money. It's your money. And if you're going to hire a financial advisor or a coach or whatever they call themselves, it's a financial advisor. If you're going to hire one, you better know who you're working with. You better ask them the questions. And not only ask them the questions, then check it out. Verify it. Look, the reason why BrokerCheck is out there is for the buying public. It's because of the consumer. It's for your protection. The reason the states have disclosure on people who are licensed within the state, the state isn't totally stupid. They know if they let a guy who has a bad record have a license, they still want to publicize what his criminal history is. So you still want to check it out. And I mean, you can do the same thing with your attorney, your CPA. You can go to the Bar Association and mm-hmm. say, hey, is this guy a legitimate attorney? I mean, you know, I was watching a show the other day and they had a guy, I can't think of the actor's name, but he's the one that played the guy that actually flew a plane, actually presented himself as a doctor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was watching this and they had the real guy, the guy that did it. And he now works for the federal government on helping clean up scams. Because believe me, this guy knows how to misrepresent in a big way. Yeah,
that was Leonardo DiCaprio was a guy that played him.
And he
played all those different things, and he was just remarkable. He was.
Yeah. Well, he said the movie took a little liberal exposure to what he actually did. He said he actually never did fly a plane. He actually was in the co-pilot seat, but he didn't actually fly a plane. And, you know, I do a lot of flying. I got to tell you, I would not be very happy to get out of a plane and find out that I flew with a person that was impersonating a pilot and actually flew that plane. That would not make too many people happy.
What does this button do over here, Chuck?
Yeah. Oh, he just got ejected and everybody's up there all by themselves. But, you know, so you want to check out things. And when you hear these ads and they say that, 401ks are no good, IRAs are no good, Roth IRAs are no good, you know what? Listen. They're the foundation for the majority of people who do investing. If you're a multimillionaire, you can take advantage of some of these large life insurance policies, and yes, you can take advantage of them. There is a way to do it. However, understand something very clearly here. They invest in the market. The same thing with the annuities. All these guys talk about fixed annuities. Yeah, they have stop losses. They have protection for downside protection. But at the end of the day, they invest in the market. The difference is some of them don't get much upside. They protect you on the downside, but they don't get any upside. So you have to look and you have to actually ask this question. Show me the history. Show me the money. Show me the history. Look, if you don't ask that question, I'm guaranteeing you they're not telling you. Ask the question. It's your money, not mine, not theirs, not anybody else's but yours. And you deserve to know the actual answer to your questions, so you need to ask them.
Amen.
Yeah, and with that, you know, pick up the phone, shoot. I feel like Rodney Dangerfield. I got no respect this morning. Nobody's calling. I feel kind of lonely here. So give me a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. And by the way, some of you may who have listened, the gentleman's name is Art, truck driver. I don't know if you remember Carl, him calling us from on the road. And he actually called me this week, and he had met with his advisor and got some information about social insecurity. And unfortunately, I had to explain to him that the information he got was a little bit wrong, pretty close to being right, but a little bit wrong. And I explained to him. And so he said, boy, I'm really glad I called. And he was going to go back and have a little discussion with his advisor. And I told him, yeah, do that and make sure he understands. If he's got a question, give me a call. I'll be glad to talk to him. I talk to guys all over the country, and I have no problem with that. So we're going to come right back with Carl's comments. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Pick up the phone and give us a call. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, And my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney, with Carl's Comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepsen.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And this is the time for Carl's Comments, and I usually like to talk about something that I know something about, and I'll try to do that today. And also, I like to talk about something that sort of came up during the past week about in my practice or something that might be valuable to others. And so I want to talk about giving stuff away. I think gifts are really nice. And I like getting gifts. I like giving gifts. I think most people do. And in the estate planning context, gift giving can be a very important part and a very useful part of estate planning. First of all, the one of the things that you usually hear is that estate planning for gifts is to reduce the size of your estate so that it reduces estate taxes. So, you know, if you give stuff away, it's not in your estate and it's in somebody else's hands, hopefully someone that you wanted to give it to. Then your estate is smaller, so there's a less chance of estate tax. So that's a good way to do it. But there's been some kind of confusion about sort of how that works. And that's why I wanted to touch base on this. And that is that there's what they call in Oregon, we have $1 million exclusion amount. So anything over $1 million becomes vulnerable to estate tax. But the federal exemption, the exemption for estate and gift taxes is $5.49 million per person, or almost $11 million for two people, for a couple. And so I'm going to kind of use $11 million because I have trouble doing the math with the extra numbers in there. So you got a lot of leeway before you have to pay those taxes. That $11 million, that's a lot. Most of my clients don't have anything near that, and I wish they did. But you know, that's way top, you know, 2% kind of thing. So what we often see also is what's called the $14,000 annual exclusion amount, and the annual exclusion amount is an amount that you can give to a person. You can give $14,000 to as many people as you want to, or if you're a couple, you can give $28,000 to as many people as you want to, and that will just be absolutely tax-free any way you slice it. It's not income tax to the people who receive it, and it's a gift reducing their estate. And if you're the one making the gift, so long as you keep that under the $14,000, you don't have to do anything either. There's no gift tax return required or anything. So a lot of people think, well, that's the whole ball of wax, but it's not. Because of this huge $11 million annual or a lifetime exclusion, what you can do, you can give, say, for example, you wanted to give somebody $114,000. And again, I'm using this $11 million figure. So if you gave them $114,000 in 2017, this is just one person, and so the first $14,000 would be absolutely tax-free. You just forget about it. They got the money, and your estate now is $14,000 smaller. And so then the $100,000, you say, well, what happens to that? That's over my $14,000 gift amount. Well, you subtract that $100,000 from the $11 million. That means that's the only... Now, you do have to file a gift tax return if you've done that. If it's over the $14,000, you got to do the gift tax return. But from what my favorite CPA says, that's no big deal. So he can do that for you. And I understand it's a really simple thing. And you write down $114,000 and put it on a little form and send it in. And they don't do anything with it. Nobody gets taxed at that time. They just note it for the record. So anyway, that then still leaves you with $10,900,000 that you can have excluded from federal estate tax. So you can see, if you really had an issue with maybe some large properties or something like that, you could actually get rid of them fairly quickly. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, because you might not want to be in the inheritance tax situation. Oregon has, like I said, anything over the $1 million, and it didn't usually take a whole lot to get up to that $1 million, especially if you own real property and things like that. So it can be a really good idea. Also, you can get rid of appreciated property so that not only do you get it out of your estate, but you get a, you save the capital gain part of it if you were going to sell it. Now, if you do give it away to your kids or something, they're going to get stuck with the capital gain because they're going to take your basis on the basis of a lifetime gift. But nonetheless, that's still a pretty good deal, and capital gains tax is generally speaking going to be fairly, at least for now, relatively easy to handle compared to certainly. Federal estate tax and that kind of stuff. So anyway, I think it's a useful tool, and there are a couple of reasons why you might want to think about doing it. And one is, it reduces your estate and saves some estate tax. It does something really nice for people that you like. And, it also, I think, is just one of those things that can accomplish some good things. For example, charitable giving can make a huge difference in a variety of areas, whatever your philanthropy, guides you to, and I would strongly urge it. And there are even some philanthropic charitable things that you can use. There are things that are called charitable remainder trusts and a whole bunch of other stuff that have all these different acronyms, which I'll spare you. But they basically do different things, but they're essentially a way of giving away property and still keeping the income stream for yourself or for someone you like. And that's pretty much it. There's only one more thing, and I want to Chuck's here, and he's listening, and he'll understand this particularly. And those of you who've listened to my show here very much will also understand. And I can't tell you there would be no greater pleasure on earth than giving away the 67 Cobra to your lawyer. I mean, you would have such happiness that it would be just amazing. And Carl's comments.
You would be forever
grateful. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Carl, we were going to, I kind of did a tease last week, but I thought Kevin was back this week, but he's back next week. And hopefully next Saturday, you and I and Kevin are going to talk about the proposed tax code, which, of course, is going to eliminate the federal estate tax.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. But
me too. I'll believe it when I see it. And I remember years ago when you and I were on the radio, and we had that one year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
George Steinbrenner of the Yankees died that year.
That's right.
Yeah, and passed his total $1 billion estate tax free. So it has happened before, folks. And I don't know if New York has a state. Tax. I'm assuming they do.
Yeah.
Estate tax.
New York. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
New York and New Jersey do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure the family still ended up paying the state a substantial amount of money, but they dodged a big 45% bullet.
That's a pretty extreme way to save estate taxes, though.
I don't think that's the way you want to do it. Well, listen. Next week, though, we're going to talk about, and that's why I want to try to get here because. I'm going to try to get here next week to make sure we talk about the tax code, but I also am going to talk to you about something very, very unique that will totally change the way you invest money. So you're going to want to listen to that show next week. You want to tell everybody you know they want to listen to our show next Saturday because I'm going to introduce something to you that I think is revolutionary and I think is going to change my industry and your way of investing, and it's pretty exciting. So I'm looking forward to talking about that next week.
Wow, that's quite a tease. I'd like to listen to the show next week.
Well, good. I think you'll have a front row seat.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified. If you've got a question, pick up the phone, 503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello. This is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question answered now. Call Chuck or Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Carl Jepsen.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is a time when we get a chance to kind of talk about things that have happened during the past week and investing and in estate planning, what's going on. And I know in Carl's and mine operation, Friday afternoon, Carl was out playing around. I was working. And anyway,
that's right.
His assistant called me, and we had to schedule a couple of appointments for November so that people could come and see him and me at the same time. And so they go see him at 10 and see me at 11, or vice versa. So that's just all in the planning of the day and try to get things done. But while we were off air, I kind of explained to Carl a little bit about, you know, what I'm where I'm going and the meeting and stuff. And about how I think it's going to change the way we invest money, and I think the listening audience is going to truly appreciate that. So hopefully you'll turn in next week, hear about the tax code, and maybe hear about something that's going to revolutionize the way we invest our money, and that's kind of exciting. And I'll tell you what else is exciting. What's exciting is that the Trump rally just keeps breaking through. I think we've had like 46 or 47 all-time high days already, and we're only, you know, we're three-fourths through the year. We're through the third quarter. We're starting the fourth quarter in a football game. This is it. This is the time the rubber meets the road. And, you know, this is where the game's won and lost is at the end of the year. And I can tell you right now, as we look at the economy, as of Friday, the national debt is $20.345 trillion. Folks, that's a lot of dinero any way you cut the mustard. It's a lot of money. Let's look at the S&P year-to-date. The S&P year-to-date is up 13.87%. The Dow Jones is up 15.24%. I got to tell you, the world of investing has been upside down for the last 16 years and 9 months. And I can prove it to you because historically, the S&P outperforms the Dow. The Dow is continuing to outperform the S&P. And both the S&P and the Dow are outperforming the NASDAQ long-term. That's got to be a concern because normally the smaller NASDAQ techie-type stocks are going to be the ones where you get the phenomenal growth. We're just not getting it there. So you got to really think about that. If you go back and you look at the S&P, S&P closed on 10/6/17 at 2549.36. If you go back and look at the S&P on 12/31/99, it was setting at 1469.25. That means for that 16 years and 9 1/4 months, the S&P is up 4.38% per year. Now, that's why I'm happy about the 13.87, because we're back into territories that we were the previous 80 years before That's, to me, that's an exciting turn. I want to see that. I want to see more of that. The NASDAQ, if you look at the NASDAQ, you go back to 12/31/99, it was at 4,069. It's now at 6,590.18 is what it closed on 10/6. So that portfolio over 16 years and 9 1/4 months is up 3.69%. Folks, what's wrong with this picture? The S&P is outproducing the NASDAQ by over 30%. That's a shocker. I mean, it should be a shocker to any long-term investor. If you take a look at the Dow Jones, go back to 12/31/99. The Dow Jones closed yesterday at 22,773.67. If you go back to 12/31/99, it closed at 11,497.12. It's up 5.85% a year. When did the Dow ever outperform the S&P by 35% over a 16, 17-year period? That normally does not happen. You know, you're talking about the big old slug companies versus the high flyers, the S&P 500, the best 500 growth stocks. It's not logical.
Chuck, I think I have the answer. I do.
Really? Uh-oh. It's the 67 Cobra.
No. Oh,
okay.
This is it. Over the last, since 1999 or so, since whatever, we've been doing this radio show about, 7, 8 years or something like that?
About 10 now.
10? Is it 10?
Yeah,
okay, so
10,
so
yeah.
For the last 10 years, people have been listening to you. And so now they're being more conservative overall. You know, you are responsible for the overall increase and improvement of the stock market. All of those, the NASDAQ.
I'll take the opposite way. But I'll tell you. Speaking about that, Carl, I've been sending tweets to some national shows because they're always putting up the quote of the day and stuff. And none of them have ever picked up my quote that I said when you and I very first started on the air. And I said, and this is one that I made up, folks. I don't know anybody else who ever said this, but I remember saying it on the air. Show me a poor politician and I'll show you a first-termer. Nobody's picked, you remember that, Carl?
I do.
And nobody's picked that up. And I've always thought, why doesn't anybody pick that up? Because it's so true. You look at our politicians, you look at any of them and they're not poor. They're all, you talked about estate tax problems. There isn't a U.S. senator probably in the United States that doesn't have an estate tax problem. I could tell you there's an Oregon senator that has a hell of an estate tax problem. So, you know, I'm just saying, folks, if you think back the last, 15, 20 years, how your assets have grown, and then look at your favorite politician and check them out. Check them out on Google. Check out what their net worth was in 99 and what their net worth is today. And I guarantee you, theirs has grown exponentially way, way faster than yours and mine.
Well, then you could compare your medical plans and retirement programs and all sorts of stuff for the public servants
the thing is, most honest people go to jail for insider trading. They say it's smart politics. So I mean, that's really it's unfortunately that is the name of the game. Well, listen, if you're not investing and you don't have a strategy, I'll tell you one other thing. If somebody recommends to you an annuity product. We have an annuity analysis. We call it an annuity check. We can take any annuity, and I can tell you the real costs involved in the annuity. Because when you hear there are no costs, nobody works for free. Somebody is paying somebody something. And free's a nice price, but the reality of it is, ask yourself, how many times you've worked for free? Probably not ever done it. Most people, when they go to a job, they expect to get paid. when they show up to work. Even if you're self-employed, you want to make sure you get paid eventually. And so we all work. We all get paid for our work. The question is, how are you getting paid? And are you disclosing how you're getting paid? Those are the things you want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds are hard to find on Saturday morning, I guess.
I thought today, because the weather turned a little bit, I thought today, man, the phones would light up. We'd have some callers. And
People shouldn't be out there mowing the lawn. It just gums up the lawnmower. You know, you guys should get the coffee and call in.
And any of you guys that went out this morning and golfed early because you thought the weather was going to turn, the heck with you, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, listen, speaking about the weather, hopefully this next week we're going to have decent weather. I found out where I'm going to go from potentially some snow into some 70-degree weather. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm hoping not, but we'll see. Listen, if you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595 or toll-free 877-733-1011. I do want to also mention that on my weekly newsletter, you can send to pfgwm.com, get a copy of our weekly newsletter. And in that, we also have a fat-burning recipe by Sherry McCants, a nutritionist. And Sherry also comes on the program once in a while and talks about nutrition. And I can tell you, we have recipes each week, and my clients absolutely love them.
You know, we have a lot of loyal listeners. It's interesting to find out, because I've every now and then somebody'll tell me that they've been listening for a long, long time, and I never heard from them or anything, and they just show up sometimes, and it's really kind of nice to hear that they're out there. But I guess I get a lot of questions, and a lot of them from people who, really want to know, but they're just concerned about it. They're not really wanting to do anything. They just want to find out about it. And some people who want something to take care of some special issue that they have in themselves.
Well, I guess our groveling worked, because boy, the lines just lit up like a Christmas tree.
Sometimes when you grovel, they come. Yeah.
We got Betty's got a question about leaving money to people. Better to people than other things. So, Betty, are you there?
Yes, I am. Okay. I was just wondering, if my daughter is on my checking account with me and savings, and so I've thought about adding a certain person to my will that's not in there now, but I know that I would have to make rather than change the will. I mean, I'd have to make a new will to include her and all that. If at some time, and you were talking about just giving money to people ahead of time, but if I were near death and wanted this person to have money, as long as my daughter, who is also going to be executor, is as long as she's on my checking account, can I just direct her to send a check to a certain person?
Well,
that's not in the will.
You certainly could, but the problem is, it would be very hard to make that a binding obligation on her part. Now, obviously, you trust your daughter, and that's the way it should be. And I assume that if you told her to do that, she would undoubtedly make that gift.
Yes.
And I'm all for that, as so long as you just understand that there are, and I'm not saying yours are, but there are many, many times I've run across family members who don't follow through on their obligations in this regard, and the a joint account presumes that the survivor of the account owns the money, so that means that technically the survivor can take the money, never file a probate, never do anything, just take the money and kind of spend it.
Huh.
Now, they can do that, but in order to show that this money was supposed to go to somebody else, they would really basically have to start some kind of a lawsuit or file a probate and then try to get the money back from that person that took it. The problem is that usually someone who's willing to take the money out and not direct it the way that they're supposed to it usually spends it before you get it back from them. So that's where you have a problem. So, again, I think it's very common practice for people to have their children or a child named as a joint account holder. But just understand that that means that they're the person who technically owns the money. Now, there can be a rebuttable presumption in the law that says that they own the money. What can happen, though, is, like I said, you can introduce evidence into a court that says that, no, this wasn't the way it was supposed to be. The daughter or the son was on the account for the purpose of paying bills and to make sure that there was some money when mom or dad died so that they would be able to, you know, pay the, you know, funeral expenses and things like that. And the rest was supposed to go as the will says it's going to go. Or the rest was supposed to be divided equally amongst the kids. And you know, and a lot of times the kids know those parameters of what they're supposed to be doing. And the problem is, though, that if they don't, then you have, you know, then you can have a problem. So like I said, it really boils down to the trustworthiness of your children, which, you know, most people, I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because a lot of people do it. But there's some of those outliers who, you know, aren't so nice. So,
yeah, there's no, now there. So, okay. So she would probably be one to go ahead. If there's another daughter, that would be good to do all the bill paying and all that. The daughter that's on the checking account lives locally. That sale of house and all those things, she would need to be at. The other one isn't, but could take over all the other. That's right. If somebody else is added in the, can somebody else be added in the will also, like to pay bills and all that too?
Yeah, certainly you could. I mean, you know, there are, the problem is that the will doesn't really have any force or an effect until it goes through probate.
And a lot of times,
the assets are set up in beneficiary designations or joint ownership. And as a result, they don't even have to go through a probate. I mean, that's where it might not even, the issue might not even come up. So again, it really relies on the where you're dealing with beneficiary designation. It's got to be the people that are going to follow through with it.
All right, wonderful. That answered it. Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Betty. Nice call. Thanks,
Betty. Yep. We got James got a question about sold a home and financing.
Hi. Yeah. 20 years ago, I built a home and sold it on a contract, and I financed it at a very low rate at the time, 5.5%, figuring I'd have $900 a month for 30 years. After 20 years, they decided to cash me out, and I got a check for a little over $100. I went down to IRS within 30 days, and I put $7,500 in there, and then I went to ODOR in Gresham, and I put in $3,500 there same day. And I based those amounts on my decimal factor that I was using every year on my capital gain. And I was just wondering, was I doing it within 30 days? Am I going to be fined or anything? The people that were collecting on the loan for me, instead of them sending it in, they just basically deposited in my account.
Are you talking about the withholding of the taxes for the capital gains that you received?
Right. Yeah, well, I figured $7,500 would cover my taxes on my capital gain, and then on for Oregon, I figured $3,500 would cover it.
Well, I would have to refer you to your tax person who does your taxes, because that would all depend on the tax bracket you're in.
Yeah.
So your tax person, I would be talking to your tax. Do you work with somebody that does your income tax?
No, I do my own. What I do every year is I do my own, and then I run it through one of those programs, you know, computer programs, and usually I'm right on the penny. So.
Okay, well, on something like this, particularly if you end up getting a nasty letter from one of those departments, I would definitely pay the money to talk to an expert and get expert help on it. Cause
right. I tried to get a hold of Kevin, but I think he's on a world cruise, or I think he's on another planet right now or something.
Well, he almost is, but you're right. He will be back next week. You're exactly right. He's on a worldwide cruise, so...
Well, I'll call him on Friday at his office and talk it over.
Okay.
With him.
Hey, thanks, James. Good call. Yep. Good call.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Here's a great call. Jones got a question about the new fiduciary rules.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Uh,
I have a traditional IRA with one of the big box investment advisors. And in the last year, it has got out of balance, and so I want to sell off part of some mutual funds and put that money in cash with the idea of buying at some later date when there's a better buying opportunity. And I'm told that we can't do this anymore because it would generate a commission for the company, and we're not allowed to do this anymore under the new fiduciary rules. And so I'm wanting to know more about that.
That's absolutely ridiculous. You control your own money. For one thing, if they won't do it, you can transfer it to your own personal account at TD Ameritrade and do it yourself.
Well, I don't want to take the tax consequences.
No. You do a trustee transfer. It's in a retirement account, right?
Yeah.
You can take any retirement account, transfer it from one broker dealer to another broker dealer. And if there's no tax liability to you at all. And you can buy and sell all you want. Look, a lot of the brokers are using the fiduciary rule because now, for the first time, they have to actually tell people you're getting charged when you do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what the fiduciary bill is all about, is full disclosure. In my opinion, though, they really, because of all the lobbying of all the insurance companies, the fiduciary rule has gotten watered down to really not mean a whole heck of a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and a lot of the brokers are doing this because their compliance department on retirement plans are making them justify every cost and every expense because they now have to fully disclose it. And so that's a nightmare that the industry is going to have to live with until some other laws come down. But I really think that they should have been full disclosure all the time, should have told you what the costs are going in and out.
Well, my advisor has, and I don't mind paying the costs, and they're not that much, but I'm being told it just flat can't do it.
Well,
and I'm wondering if this isn't a rather extreme interpretation of the new rules.
I think it is, and I think it lacks common sense.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you bet. Thank you, Joan. Frank's got a question about the plug protection team question. I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, are you there?
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah, this is me. I've been around for quite a while. And in 87, when the crash happened with Reagan, I was told, and I'm fairly sure it's true, the federal government set up a thing called the Plunge Protection Team that allows them to get into the market to buy bonds and stocks when the market has one-day crashes that are real high. And I didn't know if you guys were aware of that, or could you explain it, or maybe I'm wrong. But
what you're actually talking about is allows the market to shut down and mm-hmm. stop all trading and close the markets so that people don't panic and sell the market into oblivion.
That's what happened back then. Yeah.
That's what happened back then. And because of that, 08 and 2000, the tech bubble that popped in March of 2000, which, by the way, is always reported wrong on most financial networks in America, except for our show. I've always said it was March 15th, because if you go back and check history, that's actually when it happened, March 15th of 2000. That tech bubble crashed, the same thing. The market shut down. People forget they close the markets. And if the market drops too far, they do, and that's still in effect. And if we have another crash, that'll happen. They'll shut off trading. They'll close it down for a day or so, let cooler heads prevail, and then open it back up.
Actually, it's probably it's a very good idea. However, if it gets really bad, the day shutoffs probably won't help. But I appreciate that.
It has so far, so thank goodness. Yeah.
Yes, I mean that truly, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I appreciate that. Yeah, that's what I was told they could buy stocks. But anyway, the main thing is to shut the market down if it gets too bad.
Yeah, they just shut it down for a day or two, and you can't, people forget in 2001 we had major bank failures. And the banking industry did the same thing. They just shut down the banks for a day or two.
Yeah.
So people were making a run on the banks, particularly the Bank of New England. They had to shut it down and close the banks for a couple of days because people were kind of like in the Jimmy Stewart days, going in there wanting all their money out of the bank.
I appreciate that. I had forgotten that. Very scary. We do tend to forget.
Oh yeah, it was a very scary time. I happened to be involved in a bank at the time, and I'm telling you, it was a scary time for sure.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much,
Frank,
for your help.
Absolutely.
You have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too. Good questions, boy. Here's Kevin. I think it's is that Kevin calling about a retired military government TSP fund question?
Yes, sir. Two questions, actually.
Okay.
When I was in service, I really never paid attention to my TSP. Of course, the military doesn't match it, but now I'm in a civil service job, and they match at 5%. So I'm at 5% now in a traditional fund and 3% in a Roth. Two questions. What fund should I be in? And two, should I be traditional or Roth?
Well, here's the key thing. What is going to be your retirement income? You're retired military, so when you get out there to 62 or 65, whichever age you're planning on retiring, what's going to be your retirement income?
Well, I will have three pensions, I would say. I would have my military pension, my civil service pension, and, of course, TSP.
Okay, so those
are... Social Security, so four.
Okay, so and those are going to amount to plenty of income for you for living on?
Oh, I can live in a tent, so I guess.
Okay, well, there you go. So I can tell you right now, I would say to you, the Roth is the way to go because you already have enough taxable income coming into you. Wouldn't it be nice to have some money that's sitting out there that's tax-free that you could pull it out without having to pay any taxes on it?
That's the way I was leaning.
Yep, absolutely. I think you got the right idea. I'd go Roth.
Okay.
You don't need the deduction right now. You need the tax-free income later.
Right. And I don't know if you're familiar with the different funds in TSP, but which one should I be in? They almost look too good to be true, except for the treasuries.
I got to tell you right now, I mentioned this on the show last week, and I'm still going to stick with my story. I think October is a scary month. I tell my clients... all of our portfolios have stop losses in them, which our clients are pretty well protected in case of a big dip. But I always worry about the witching month, and that's October. The majority of crashes that have ever happened have happened in the month of October. So I would right now, I would be in that conservative fund. You have a government cash fund, doesn't pay much. I think last time I looked at one, it paid about 1%. But... you're never going to lose any money in it. If the market crashes, you sound like you're fairly, you got about 10, 15, 20 years to retirement.
I'm 47, so.
Okay, yeah, you got at least 15 years to retirement. So, you know, this is a great opportunity for you. I'd put that in the cash account, in the cash management account, the conservative one that they have. I would wait, and if the market does take a big hit in October, then I'd move it into the growth fund. If it doesn't, then I would just reinvest it back to how you had it before and diversify it into the maybe a little bit of each of them.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You bet. It. Thank you. Good question, Kevin. Thank you. You know, TSP has been changed dramatically. The big problem in the TSP program is they don't have that many options. I think there's only like six funds you can choose from. And you'd think, with it being a government plan, you would think they would have a little more smorgasbord for people to choose from, but they don't. They have it really tightly limited to what you can invest in.
It's unfortunate that PERS didn't have those few funds.
Well, you know, I gotta tell you, PERS in the past have had some bell ringing years. I mean, they've done some great investing, and they've done some not so great investing. Like any big managed portfolio, that happens. Carl, how somebody get a hold of you?
I can be reached at 971-229-0585, and we're at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, in Portland, Oregon, right near Mall 205.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a good CPA, Kevin Steggy, I'll give him a little plug right here. Kevin Steggy's located at 2414 Northeast Division Street, and his email is Stege, that's K-S-T-E-E-G-E, at baker-colson.com. And his number is 503-666-5569. And you can reach me at pfgwm.com, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Don't miss next Saturday's show. We're going to talk about the stock market. We're going to talk about the new tax law proposed. I say proposed. We'll be back next Saturday with Investing Simplified.
Listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
To Investing Simplified.
When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then, make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do Investing Simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.